So as Elizabeth mentioned, we are in China now, and we do university. I just teach oral English at a university in Beijing. And so as we've been going through the book with the Bell's method, which I like to call the B-E double hockey sticks S, I've been asked to teach on the first L, which is listen. All right? Listen. It's... there we go. All right? So, what does it take to listen? Right? I mean, when we listen, there's another word I'm going to play with as we talk, and that's receive. Right? Has anybody ever played with radios, and there's a receiver and a transmitter, right? And so the transmitter is the one that's basically putting the signal out, and the receiver is the one taking the signal in. So when we listen, we need to also remember that word receive, okay? We need to be ready to receive. And that's kind of some of the things we want to talk about today. So, I want to start by asking you a question this morning. Why are you here?
Coffee.
Just write it.
And I want you to write on the piece of paper the answer to this question. Why are you here this morning? Okay, assuming you're not writing a journal entry on this question, we'll move to the next thing. Now, let's see if my clicker is working. All right, so now I want you to take a moment, be quiet, close your eyes, quiet yourself down, forget about the kids back in the kids' ministry, forget about the fact that you've left the windows open in your car and it's raining. Just quiet yourself down now. Holy Spirit, we invite you now to come. Fill this room. Fill our hearts. Have your way. Now I want you to ask God the question, why am I here this morning? And write the answer down on the paper. Not to put too much thought into it. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. So if you'll write that down, what you feel like God has said to you. Jesus said this. Jesus answered them and said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, that is the Father, the Son also does in the same manner." And there's something about this verse that is absolutely life-changing if you grab hold of it. It really takes the weight off. It takes the pressure off. Because Jesus' ministry was not his ministry. It was the Father's. He was a big faker. He was an imitator. He spent his days walking around looking for what Father was doing. Listening to what Father might say to do. You know? And then he would just get involved with what Father was doing. Now, he is an example to us, okay, of how we should behave in our lives. As now with the Holy Spirit, we can do just that. So let's talk about some of the things about listening, all right? First of all, it's a Christian discipline, all right? And there's all kinds of different terms for it down through the years. There's contemplative prayer, which sounds really, I like that one, because it sounds, you know, to contemplate. But then when you say contemplative, well, that just sounds so, you know, high and uppity. I love it. Meditation, well, the New Agers took that one, so we're not allowed to use that one, right? Meditation, oh, Christians don't meditate, do they? Yeah, they do. They just don't usually levitate off the floor and stuff, but we do. Meditation is what we're being called to do. The Lectio Divina. I don't understand Latin. That one kind of turns me off, so I don't go to that one around. Soaking. Anyone ever heard the word soaking? Yeah, okay, so that's a new vernacular these days coming out of Toronto and stuff, and I used to get a kick out of that one because as a theologian, I'd be like, soaking. Come on, that's not the scriptures. I mean, what is that? You know, what's soaking? And then they used to throw the words around like, you know, well, it's like basting. You know, you just kind of dip the Holy Spirit and pour it over again and again and again. I was like, yeah, whatever. And then my favorite one was marinating. You know, like Mary and Martha? Marinating, right? Because Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and she didn't work. She just... So I always liked that one. That was like, that one made me chuckle. I said, I think I'll go with that one, marinating. It's still meditation. It's still the same Christian discipline that Jesus did. He got away from the crowds. He left his disciples alone oftentimes, went up on a mountaintop and prayed in quiet, in solitude. And then he'd come back having received from the Father many things. All right? So, it doesn't matter what you call it. The fact is, it's a Christian discipline. Okay? And probably one that's more important today in this life than any. Because, yeah, Jesus was pretty busy. Okay? I guarantee you that. He didn't have a cell phone, bless his heart. I don't know how he got by without that. But, you know, he didn't have some of the busyness maybe that's coming at us today. But he was busy. He was busy. I mean, his 3 years, I think he was worn out, honestly. That's my personal opinion. As a human being, he was pretty tired. But I also like, you know, the Apostle Paul, he talks about having time to walk. Can you imagine if we walked between cities instead of driving a car, how much extra time we have to sort of just rest and marinate in the Lord while we're moving or about. But you know, when we go to China and somebody says, hey, let's walk around the block, that's an hour and a half. I mean, these blocks are huge, right? So it's a little bit more time there. But yeah, so Jesus did it. Jesus took time out from his busy schedule to spend time from listening to the Father. So I want to give you some suggestions as to how, okay, we can be listening. First of all, be purposeful, okay? So be really specific about taking time out. Somebody told me one time in their day timer, they write in time with God. And if somebody calls and says, hey, can we get together at 6:30? And he'll look and he'll say, no, I'm busy. I already have an appointment, right? So whatever it takes for you to take time out, take time out. Okay? Take a time away from your busy schedule. Now, however, you need to be creative. Okay? Young mothers are listening to me and they're going, ha, 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 you have no idea what my life is like. Right? How am I going to take time out? Right? Like, I can give the kids time out. But your life, so let's be realistic. All right? I'm not... To think that you can do what Jesus did, which is go up on a mountaintop and pray in quiet, I don't want to put that on people who just can't. They just, their lifestyle doesn't allow for that. But you do have, everyone has the ability to take more time out from whatever your busyness is, right? And I think even mothers would long for that opportunity. So husbands, maybe you need to provide the opportunity for your wife to take the time out that they need. Okay? So maybe it needs to be a partnership or a little teamwork on that. But let's be reasonable, all right? Let's realize that this is a Christian discipline we all should be practicing, but let's be realistic about how we can go about doing that, all right? Be creative in finding that quiet place. When you find that quiet place, and for me, quiet often involves soft music, okay? Because I'm extremely self-aware. Just talking about my own personality and what I've learned about myself. So if I'm laying, what I tend to do is I lay down somewhere. And if I'm laying down, I'm very aware of every tiny little noise. Every tiny little noise. So if I play music that, usually Christian music, because even if the quote-unquote possible distraction points you back to Christ, right? Then it's a distraction that just keeps focusing you back on why you're taking time out. Does that make sense? So what I do is I'll play Christian music quietly because it drowns out the creaking of the house or the shutting of a door or a car going by or something like that that would take my mind. Instead, the music is a noise that's actually helping focus my attention on why I'm there. Okay? So be creative. Find out what's good for you. What is a quiet place for you? Avoid agendas. Avoid agendas. What do I mean by that? Many of us, we go to that quiet place because we need an answer to something. I try to stay away from that. Because God may not, that may not really be the problem. Whatever it is you think you need an answer to. It might be you actually need to just hear God say, I love you. And that problem all of a sudden kind of melts into its proper place. Right? So don't have an agenda. Let him set the agenda when you go. Plan to listen and not to talk. I know this is a kind of just an example of what I mean by this. Some of us are verbal processors, right? And maybe, you know, you as God is speaking to you, you have to write it down, or you need to talk it out with God, or that kind of thing. So I'm not limiting that. But sometimes there's a nervousness about our communication back to God. That we're not comfortable listening to him speak to us. You know, oh, well, I love you. Oh, but Lord, you know that. And he's like, shh, shh, shh. I love you. Yeah, but you know, I love you. Right? So we need to learn not to talk, but to listen and receive from him. And journaling can be very helpful for that. Actually, I'm not a very good journaler, I'll be honest with you. So if any of you are bad journalers, you know, I'm with you. Okay? The journals I have, they're really, really great for about 6 weeks, and then there's a 3 or 4 month gap, right? And so if anybody, when I die, if you want to print my journals, you know, like great theologians get done, you'll have to make up something in between, because I'm a terrible journaler. So if you're a journaler, journal, that's great. But if you're not a journaler, don't feel the pressure that you have to write everything down. However, it's always good to write it down after the fact so that you can go back and look at it later. It's always a good practice. But sometimes, the only thing I often write if I'm in that quiet place is if a plaguing thought comes to my mind, oh, I forgot to do the dishes, or something like that. Like something I'll write that on a list, and now I don't have to think about it, because I'll remember it when I come out of the quiet place, right? Does that make sense? So you can write that down. That's personally, that's the only thing I ever write down. So it's the tool to let my brain say, okay, I'll remember that later because I wrote it down. So just some suggestions there. And then, of course, receive as a vessel. You are a cup. You are a pot. You are a, you know, all the different terms in the scriptures that they use. You are a vessel of God. One of the things I love about being in China is that Confucian thought is that the student is an empty cup, right? And the teacher is to fill the cup. So every student arrives at the class, and they sit down, and they go, and they listen, right? They fill me. There's not like here in the West, where they look at you and they go, I dare you to fill me, right? I'll spit it back at you if I don't like it. No, no, in China, they're a cup. They're an empty cup, and you fill them. To the point where I mean, it's good and it's bad, because if I ask the question, so does everybody understand what I just said? They'll always shake their head. And then after class, one of them will come up and go, "Mr. Roth, I really didn't understand what you said." And I'm like, "Well, why didn't you say something? Maybe others didn't." "Oh, we could never suggest that you didn't do your job well." Right? Because the respect is for the teacher to be the one who fills. Right? So you have to kind of keep that in mind. But so we, maybe in the West it would be difficult for us to practice this, but you need to practice it when you go to God. Be an empty cup. Be an empty cup, because He is the one who needs to fill you. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. Number three, how often should you do this? Well, the more the better, right? But be reasonable again. Single, you know, mothers of small children might not be able to do this all the time. Maybe they can. Maybe we can work out something with the husband. You know, well, this is your time, dear. Or, you know, there's just different schedules that create difficulty sometimes for how often you can do this. But do it as often as you can, because that's where your power will come from. And find out where it's best to learn to listen, okay? Because you have to work that out for yourself. It's not only a place we must, but it is not the only place that we can listen to the Holy Spirit. What I mean by that is, think of it this way. When I was playing football, I was a linebacker, especially during... Hello? Did I run out of batteries?
Maybe you could have changed.
Hello. Now you've got to find out the secret to this. So when I played football, when I got into high school, I played linebacker. And so we had a linebacker coach, right? So a coach just for the linebackers. And so if I wanted to learn from him, I needed to sit quietly and listen to him tell me how to play linebacker, okay? And I needed to study the pages that he gave me to know my assignments as a linebacker when I'm on the field. But then when I got on the field, the heat of battle, guess who's yelling from the sideline? "Move left, Rolf! Move right! Back up! Move forward! Fill that hole!" And I had to be listening. I had to be listening in the very heat of battle, right? And the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And he's more than a coach. The illustration breaks down after a certain point. But when it comes to listening, you need to be prepared to listen more than just when it's quiet. Right? Like when the heat of battle and you go, "Lord, I can't hear you because there's all this confusion and interference." No, when you're in the quiet place, you learn His voice. You study what He's saying to you. You prepare yourself, because it's in the heat of battle, you still need to be listening. You still need to be prepared to walk through. Like, Jesus knew the Father's voice when all those people were trying to touch Him and get a hold of Him and stuff. But how did He know the Father's voice so well? Because He took quiet time to hear the Father's voice and learn it. So I've heard some people say, "Man, if I could just get some quiet time, I'd be able to blah, 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 blah." And I'm thinking, this is where the Father's still walking with you. He's constantly talking with you. He's constantly giving you instruction. So don't get to where you think, "Oh, well, if I can't get in a quiet place, then I can't do anything." It's not true, okay? But get quiet and alone as often as you can. Okay, finally, so why do we need to practice listening? Why do we need to practice listening? First of all, because we need to always be listening. Okay? 1 Thessalonians, it says, "Pray unceasingly." That always has bothered me, you know? Because prayer is me getting on my knees at the end of my bed and praying, right? How am I going to go to work if I'm doing that unceasingly? No, prayer is that receiving and communicating with God. We're supposed to be doing that constantly. So heat of battle, when you have time to get quiet, everything in between, you're supposed to be listening to the Lord, listening to Father give you instruction in how to do things. Second of all, because we are completely helpless without Him. John chapter 15, the whole chapter deals with this, but of course you're familiar with some of the verses that say, Jesus says to His disciples, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." You know what that word nothing means in the Greek? It's a really fancy word. It means nothing. Zero. Zilcho. Right? And so, it's really important for you to realize that if you don't receive from the Lord, whatever you give out is just flesh. It really is. I hate to say that because some of us, you know, we kind of like what we have to give. But the truth is, the people, these lost treasure people that you're going to reach out to, they don't need you. They don't need me. They need Him. They need Him in us. They need the light that we can shine. But they don't need us. They don't need our fancy word. They don't need our slick description of the Christian faith and why they need to come to it. There is a supernatural power that will only draw them. It's the only thing that will draw them. I've had people over the years become curious about Christianity because of my slickness, if you will. And they never came to Christ. Because I can't convince them of that. But then I've had people come to Christ because of my failure to be slick. What's that? That's the Holy Spirit doing the work that He said He would do through us, not because of us. Okay? So let's keep that in mind. There's nothing you can do unless by yourself. You need His input. And listening is where we can get that. Because lost treasure people do not need us, they need Him. Let me take the pressure off of you. Okay? Some of us are doing this study and we're thinking, "Oh, I can't do this." You're right. You can't. You can't. He wants to do it through you. And I'm telling you, until you've experienced some of this, and I know some of you probably even have, like me, and you're like, "Oh, yeah, this is a good reminder." There's a supernatural power that God is giving you to reach out to these people. The friends that you have, I have made some terrible mistakes with my neighbors, for example, over on Phillip Street. There's this one across the street. I won't use his name because they know who he is. You don't. He's an older gentleman, and he's very, very knowledgeable, and he's a little bit, he just kind of looks and watches you, you know, like this. And so one time I was replacing the railing on the front of our house, on the front porch there, and I was showing the kids how to do it. And I don't know if you've ever done this before, but they get this new system where there's like a groove, and then you put the slats in, and then, but there's this piece of really thin wood. And so I didn't know what I was doing. That's the honest truth, is I just didn't know what I was doing. And I thought I knew what I was doing. So common sense said you cut that little slatted piece of wood, and you put it between, you put the slats up inside this groove, right? And then you just use those to fill in the space so they don't move around. And so my neighbor comes over. Sweet, sweet, sweet as he can be. "Dan, can I help you with that?" "No, no, no, it's good, it's good. I got it, no problem." You know, my kids are sitting there watching how we're going to do this, right? And he goes, "You sure? Because I think you don't do it though." "No, no, no, I got it. Thanks, thanks, thanks." Just proud as, you know, peacock. And I'm saying, "Oh, Mike, I got this." He's probably done it a million times. Nice enough to walk away, let me have it my own way. Well, I made a mess of things. And eventually he came and he showed me how you attach it to the piece of wood this way. And it goes up into the groove. Anyway, if you don't understand what I'm doing, it doesn't matter. The point is, I was too proud to let him help me. Right? So later on at a street party, maybe a couple months later, I was sitting there going, "You know, Mike, you were so nice to me that day when I was too proud to take your advice." And I just told him straight up, I said, Yeah, and he went, he was like, wow, Dan, you know, I can't believe you even said that. Because, yeah. And he was much warmer to me when I admitted my mistake than being perfect all the time. So sometimes the lost, the Holy Spirit can move through you being a broken Christian. Like, you being somebody who's able to say, you know what, I made a mistake. And they're like, huh, I never see that. What's this all about? What's going on in your life that you feel like you could say that to me, right? So realize that they don't need you. They need Christ in you. They need you to just live Christ's life in front of them. You don't need the fancy words. You don't need to know exactly how to say everything. Yeah, that's helpful. Yeah, that's helpful. But that's not what they need. What they need is the power that you've received when you're in these places of listening and receiving from God. I can't tell you how many times I've had people, well, especially now in China, my students come up to me and they use words that I've never used. Mr. Rolfe, what's this hope that you and Mrs. Rolfe have? Or why is there so much peace on you? Why is there joy in your faces? Trust me, I'm not peaceful all the time over there. I'm not joyful all the time, and hope is sometimes running away from me. And because I've never taught university English before. But they see that. Do they see that because I'm so good at what I'm doing? No. It's because Holy Spirit is putting in us a radiance that they are being drawn to. Okay? If you will take the pressure off of getting all the little details right and just spend time with God, ask Him to fill you. Ask Him to show you what you need and be filled, and then let Him speak to you about the different lost treasure people in your life. And then when He tells you about a certain person, don't start coming up with a strategy. Okay, well, let's see. I can, you know. But rather, just live your life. Go move towards them. That's all. Just move towards them. Let that light shine. It's so important to just let that light shine. Okay? All right. So, my main thing to say is don't just listen, but receive. Okay? For example, the questions I asked you at the very beginning, I asked you, why are you here this morning? Who answered that question? Okay, I didn't mean a show of hands. I meant you answered that question. Right? Because I asked you, and you, from your mind and from your psychology, from your point of view, from your experience, you answered that question. But the second question, I said, you ask God, why am I here? Okay? Now, how many of you had a different answer the second time? Okay? Isn't that interesting? That we have our own idea about why we're here, but when we take the time to just stop and ask God, we find out, that's why I'm here, right? How many of you, the second answer was more encouraging than the first one? Yeah. Because we're kind of hard on ourselves. And God is very exacting, however lovingly so, right? And He always tries to draw us to encouragement. So, that's where what that exercise was about. Don't just listen, but receive, all right? That's my encouragement to you. As you are getting in those quiet places, be an empty cup. Be somebody that God wants to be able to fill. There's an old Native American saying that if you're already a full cup, it's hard to teach, right? And so my experience has been that Ephesians chapter 5, when he talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit, do not be drunk with wine or in his excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Being filled, the verb is actually what they call a present tense continuous. So it means not just to be filled once, but to constantly be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because the reason it's juxtaposed to being drunk is because in the Dionysus habit of worship, they would get drunk and work themselves up into a fever pitch, right? Where we get our word ecstasy from. They would get all worked up, and that was considered a religious high, right? And then you could hear from God if you got into that state, right? And then usually alcohol was necessary for that, or some kind of drug. So Paul is saying, Don't be drunk with wine like the Gentiles, but rather be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because that's where you're going to hit that high. That's where you're going to receive what you need. That's where you're going to find your source. So be being filled with the Holy Spirit. And you will be surprised at what happens around you. When things start happening and you sit there and you go, I don't understand. Good. That means you're not doing it. That means God is doing it. And he's going to get the glory, right? Instead of somebody coming and saying, wow, you're such an evangelist. You go, no, actually, that's God. God's doing that, right? So those are the kind of stories I would love to hear. Is that, I don't know, it just, you know, God was just coming out all over the place. So, all right, so here's what I'd like to do. Just take a moment. Let's quiet back down. And how many of you, I'm just going to pray for us to receive the Holy Spirit. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't know everybody's theological background. I'm not talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay, I'm getting into any of that, but be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? So whether you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit or haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit or any of that stuff, we're not even getting into that. Okay? We're not even talking about that. The Holy Spirit lives inside each one of us who are Christians. All of us who have accepted Jesus have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. Jesus, the Almighty God Creator, lives inside you. Come back to that. Wow! You're a vessel, right? Filled with God. But then he says, be being filled. What is that? Well, I like the way one guy put it. He says, well, it's because we leak. A lot of us are crackpots, right? You know, we're holes in us. The Holy Spirit, sometimes life kind of gets to us and we leak out. The Holy Spirit kind of leaks. And so he's saying, constantly go back to the well. Be filled again, right? Be filled again. This is a tremendous thing to practice, is asking God. Because I believe, because of the scriptures, if you ask God to fill you, he will every single time. Every single time. Now, some of us, sometimes we're like, I don't feel any different. And then sometimes we feel like, oh my goodness, there's so much power that's been given through the Holy Spirit in me, right? And you can see it. Sometimes not so much. And I think the reason is because if I have a glass that's full of rocks, okay, I can pour water in it. How much water is in the, when it gets to the full, how much water is in it compared to how big the glass is? There's displacement, right? But if the glass is empty and I pour water in it and fill it, how much water got in that glass? More than in the glass over here. So I believe that every time we pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit, he fills us. But how much of us is in the glass determines how much of him can be in the glass. It's just an illustration. I'm not going to get into a doctrine around that. But, so I find that the more I empty myself before I ask for his filling, the more I receive from him. Because he'll answer that prayer every time. And how do you know when a glass is full? It runs over. When you're filled with God, you cannot keep it to yourself. It splashes on the people around you. So let's practice that, okay? I'm going to just pray for this morning. So let's just quiet our hearts. And just think of Christ. Think of the beauty of our Lord. Perhaps think of that day in which he saved you from your sin. Afresh and anew. That rescue. Or maybe think of a time recently when you have been very aware of how loving he is, how kind he is to you. Okay. And this may seem a little hokey or weird to some of you. I'm only obeying the scriptures, all right? Now I want you to ask, fill me, Holy Spirit. Fill me afresh and anew. Fresh and anew. We're not saying you don't have the Holy Spirit. We're just saying, fill me again. fresh and anew. Empower me to do your work, your will. Be your light, your hands, your feet, your eyes. If you need to, just breathe them in the physical. If you need to act like you're drinking a cup, I don't care. None of that really is important to God. It's the heart that says, please come in. Fill me again. I asked the Lord one time, I said, if I have the Holy Spirit living within me, why do I have to ask to be filled again? And clear as a bell, he said, well, you're 86% water, but you still need to take a bath. As a biologist, it made sense to me. So I was like, oh, okay, all right. So let him fill you. Let him fill you. Receive. You don't have to work for it. You just have to ask. To all who are thirsty, come unto me and drink. And from you, and from your belly, will flow what? That's right. Where does that come from? From you? No. It comes from what you drank. It comes from the well. So come, Holy Spirit. We invite you to fill us with power. I ask, Father, for miraculous things to happen this afternoon as they go out. And they don't do anything different necessarily, but they spill off on other people. In whatever restaurants they go to, whatever friends they run into, family members, show forth your supernatural power in us as filled up children of God, vessels ready for your glory. And thank you, Father. That is all done in grace. We don't have to work for it, but you did everything. You gave everything to make this door available to us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.